Hello and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. My name is Mark Peacock. This is the first Travel Commons Podcast, so bear with us. We got kind of a lousy microphone and we're going to be trying some new stuff along the way, but I hope you enjoy what we got to say. Why should you care? Why should you listen? Why should you even think about subscribing to this podcast? Well, if you're interested in travel, that's what we're going to talk about. Really sort of the ground level experiences of a traveler, someone who's in airplanes and hotels and rental cars every week. That's me. And hoping to generate some discussion. Folks like yourself want your thoughts, your stories too. And that's the whole idea of a commons, to share some things. We're talking to you today from the bathroom of the Wardman Park Marriott. I don't have fancy reverb filters and all the other great stuff. So instead, I thought I'd just surround myself with a lot of tile, and hopefully this thing will sound pretty good. So anyhow, Wardman Park Marriott in Northwest D.C. I'm on kind of one of my normal triangulation trips. Last week I was out on the West Coast. This week I'm out on the East Coast. Started off in O'Hare yesterday afternoon, kind of the typical O'Hare day. 6 a.m. thunderstorm shut the entire schedule to hell in a handbasket. 60 to 120 minute delays the whole time. I tell you, it was a mess. And then today, flying down from New York, taking the shuttle out of LaGuardia, they push us back, and then we sit for 45 minutes on the runway because LaGuardia was in one of those. We got caught right in the middle of one of those LaGuardia reconfigure the runway sort of things where they take the entire 30 airplanes that are out on the runway and tell them all to turn around and go the other way because the wind shifted. It was beautiful. It's been a beautiful trip, kind of a normal trip actually. Hey, I want to talk actually about three things today on today's podcast. Here are the topics: Hungarian roadside prostitutes, Puff the Magic Dragon security points, and because I was back in New York yesterday, some thoughts on the Five Borough bike ride that took place a couple of weeks ago. The oldest profession coming to Hungarian malls. Last month, Reuters had an article, got picked up all over the web, talking about the Hungarian Interior Ministry looking to allow prostitutes to solicit for business in shopping malls. Of course, they're not going to be allowed to consummate the deal in the shopping mall, but they're thinking about providing dedicated shopping centers where prostitutes could strike the deals for sex, as long as they move someplace to their own, around the parking lot, to carry out the transaction. Well, you can imagine. There's a couple of jokes, obviously, that you can come up. There's a whole thing you can do on Gap stores and probably slot machines. But I'm going to sort of skip a few of those jokes. When I read this, it made me think about our last visit to Hungary, and this was some years back. Back in actually 99 was summer of 99 was the last time we were over, and we were driving through Eastern Hungary, and I noticed a number of girls in bikinis standing by the side of the road. On our first drive out of Budapest, I saw the first one of these girls. I mentioned to my wife that I was surprised no one had picked up a good looking hitchhiker like that. On our next drive, a few days later, the roadside was practically filled with blonde chicks in bikinis. I could now tell that these girls, weren't hitchhiking. There wasn't a sort of epidemic of blonde hitchhikers. Instead, you could figure out that they were working the parking turnouts and the rest areas of the highway, just like they were street corners in a red light district. As we drove, we saw all the stages, well, except one, but all the stages, the different stages of the transaction. The first stage, we saw sort of the come on, the girls advertising the goods, I guess you would say. Many of the girls had long blonde hair, deeply tanned skin, which, you know, in Hungary, I mean, there isn't a huge amount of sun there, so it was artificial in one way or the other, I think. And they all had yellow thong bikinis. So here was, you know, I mean, here was the uniform. Blonde, long blonde hair all the way down the back, deep tan, yellow thong bikinis. Most of them just sort of stood by the side of the road, waving at cars, looking to flag folks down, trying to make eye contact. A few of the girls, though, were working it hard, squatting down in the thongs with their backs, quite honestly, their backsides facing the oncoming traffic. So really, sort of working the oncoming lanes. The next stage was the negotiation. Yes, and truck drivers seemed to be the target audience here. The drivers would pull into the turnouts. The girls would kind of get up. The truckers would look out of the cabs. They'd negotiating deals while they were reviewing the goods as the girls were stood up on the steps leading up in the cabs. You know, the more enterprising girls would cross the road to negotiate if the interested party couldn't manage the U-turn into their turnout. So, you know, obviously some service there. We certainly didn't see the final stage, the act in and of itself, though we did see a number of trucks idling and seemingly unstaffed parking turnouts during the middle of the day, so you could draw your own conclusions. One could reasonably assume that some of the portions of these trucks were hosting the act, whatever that act may be. We did get to see, though, what I would call sort of the denouement, if we continue on this whole literature metaphor. We saw a girl walking away from a truck as it pulled out of the turnout. The girl turned her back to the truck, ran her fingers through the hair, looked up sort of into the sky as she refluffed her blondness. And then resumed, got back out, took her spot on the at the front of the turnout. And it was funny because even during the rainstorms, we saw these same sort of parking attendants working the beats. We saw one in rain gear and another in a long black dress with an umbrella. Certainly not as eye catching as the yellow thong, but it must have been effective. They weren't alone in their parking spots. So, first parking turnout, now shopping malls. So, you know, it could make for some an interesting place to vacation this summer. Puff the Magic Dragon airport screeners. The TSA announced last month that the passengers at dozens of airports will soon get the opportunity to be sniffed at, be sent through screening machines that will sniff for explosives and avoid the need for pat down searches and taking your belt and your shoes and it'll eliminate the need for the ritual disrobing that goes on in front of every other screening station at most of the airports. I got a preview of the sniffer at San Diego Airport a month ago. I was walking into the terminal at SAN, and there were signs warning 20-minute wait from this point, 15-minute wait from this point. There was nobody there. It kind of reminded me of Disneyland, except without any promise of any fun at the end of the line. Sort of, instead of twirling teacups or the Matterhorn bobsled, the fun at the end of this line is normally sort of the shoe carnival, which is some surly TSA screener demanding that I take off my shoes before walking through the metal detector, not caring that my shoes contain no metal, nor that the soles aren't thick enough to keep my feet dry in the rain, let alone hold plastic explosives. You know, one guy tries to blow his foot off 4 years ago, and millions of people are still walking through airports in their stocking feet. I may be missing something here, but the shoe carnival doesn't make me feel any more secure. You know, to this visit that I took into sort of TSA land was different, though. At the end of the line, which, in spite of the dire warnings as I was walking over from the parking garage, was only a couple minutes long, there actually was a bit of an amusement ride this time. Rather than, guy demanding my shoes, there's actually a smiling TSA worker. Now, that in and of itself, is enough to make you either think that this is something special or, begin to worry that something really special is going to happen. But no, smiling guy waved me into one of these explosive sniffing portals, and you know, shoes and all, belt and all. You know, I did have to put my bags through the X-ray machine, but that was okay. So shoes and all, I walk into this small booth, and he closes the door behind me. A couple of puffs of air blew up out of the floor, and then nothing. I'm inside this box. I can see at the front. I can see in the back. I'm not going anywhere. About 5 seconds later, green light comes on. The front door opens. I walk out, collect my luggage, proceed to my gate. All in all, not a bad experience. I'll tell you, though, if the front and back doors hadn't been made of sort of clear floor-to-ceiling Lucite, this little airlock would have been a bit claustrophobic, I got to tell you. And as it is, I'm not sure how many of sort of the belt extender crowd are going to fit in this thing. Nor would I have been too excited if I had to follow, let's call it, a soap-deprived individual into it. However, it is progress. Anything that cuts down on the shoe carnival, I'm telling you, is beautiful in my book. I'm not going to say this was exactly an e-ride, but I will tell you anything that lets me keep my shoes on, I'm pretty happy about.
I kicked in his door at 5 a.m. I come on my bike. I told a repo man my 920 is gonna take me far today. You can travel for miles.
The Five Boroughs bike ride was on May 1st, Sunday, May 1st, so a couple of weeks back, and it's the traditional kickoff in New York of Biking Month, and actually it's a great ride, and actually we're going to end up doing the bookends to Biking Month festivities. So started off with the Five Borough bike ride in New York a couple of weeks back, and we'll end it with Bike the Drive in Chicago, where they close down Lakeshore Drive on Sunday morning, and you get out and do about 35 miles on right along Lake Michigan. Great rides, both of them. I'll tell you, the Five Borough bike ride, 42 miles through all five boroughs, starting in Battery Park, going all the way up Manhattan, taking a quick loop into the Bronx, back down over the 59th Street Bridge, back up to Astoria Park, and then back down through Queens, through Brooklyn, over the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, and into Staten Island. I'll tell you, I got up Sunday morning early, which in and of itself hurt because we had been out the night before with friends, had an early dinner, which was good, but the problem was somebody said, well, let's have just a couple of after dinner cocktails, and pretty soon it was midnight before we got back into bed. We were staying at the Marriott Financial Center, given that bike ride started in Battery Park, which is a really nice hotel. I've stayed there a number of times, and I really like it. Very polite people. They actually had good bike storage there. I thought it was expensive at first. $15 a day will park your car in most cities. But then I learned that actually the bike park was going to be manned 24 hours a day, which, as I got to thinking about it, is probably not a bad idea, because you know, I just don't think those drop gates by the payment booths are going to stop too many bike thieves. But anyhow, I kind of shagged myself, crawled out of bed, and about 5:30 in the morning, I looked out the window, hoping not to see the reflection of headlights on wet streets, because it had been raining the entire day prior. The fog and our height, we were on the 35th floor, made it a bit difficult to tell, so we dressed for dampness anyway, but there was no way we were looking forward to cycling 42 miles in the rain. Got down to breakfast and just kept running into all sorts of people who had come from everywhere on this ride. Actually, the day before in Tribeca, we'd run into a father and son who had just flown over from Ireland for this ride. Breakfast that morning, we were sitting next to a couple from Canada, and you know, heard other folks, lots of folks talking about getting ready for 8-hour car drives back home at the end of the ride. So there you go, you know, spend 5 hours on a bicycle doing 42 miles, load up in a car, and then drive another 8 hours home. There also seemed to be a lot of locals who were just doing part of the ride, so you know, they would just sort of hop in and you know, take advantage of the closed streets and you know, dump out at home. But you know, I will tell you, it was a well-organized ride. Again, 42 miles, all the streets were closed, cops everywhere, marshals everywhere. I thought it was a well-organized ride, but it was, I heard numbers of 30,000 people, and that's a lot of people on a bike ride. You know, it was supposed to start in Central and Battery Park, and we had cycled over to Battery Park, but saw people taking off north, so we thought, hey, this is going to be great. They're doing a rolling start, no sort of having to Fred Flintstone our bicycles for the first few miles. Kept going up Church Street, and then boom, the big stop, right? And you could see they had a booth set up on Canal Street, and we were many blocks off of Canal Street. So, you know, about an hour before their start, at 7 a.m. in the morning, there are like 3,000 people in front of us, and then, just to add to our pleasure, it starts to rain. What had I gotten us into? But anyhow, you know, I mean, and you think about it, you know, they said there were about 30,000 people there. You know, at $40 a piece for sign up, that's $1.2 million in entrance fees. This is not a small ride. You know, the best part, I think, of the ride was going through Central Park. Even though it was still raining and overcast, the flowers and the trees were all in bloom, and it really was provided some nice color to an otherwise gray morning. And the park path had a bit of a technical challenge to it. I mean, other than just riding down straight streets, when you got into the park, you got curves, you got hills, something that you just weren't getting on the rest of the ride. I think the legs through the neighborhoods in Queens were interesting also. I've really never spent any time in Queens other than LaGuardia, and the neighborhoods that we passed were just very unlike the vertical living that you see in Manhattan. We really enjoyed it. I'll tell you, the worst part of the ride, however, was south of Brooklyn as you started heading out toward Staten Island. There was a bailout. You could have bailed out at the Brooklyn Bridge at mile 29. And we should have done that. Most of the ride down to Staten Island was just raised highway, riding above the neighborhoods rather than through it. It's just, I mean, the ride over the Verrazano Narrows Bridge was very nice, and it provided great views, but you know, you could have skipped it. And here's what made it work. We got really lucky, and that is, you know, you see, get to Staten Island. They've got a festival. We said, forget it. We just blitzed through the festival, another 3-mile ride to Staten Island Ferry. Boom, 30 to 45 minute wait to get in queue to get onto the ferry. Later that night, we find out, as we're going down to dinner, we see people still coming in at 7-8 o'clock at night. Talked to a couple of folks. Said, what's going on? You guys are just getting back. They said, yeah, one of the ferries had broken down, and so they only had one ferry running between Staten Island and Battery Park, and people were waiting 4 hours to get off the island. So we really dodged the bullet on that. Here's the net of this thing. I would advise folks, absolutely do the ride. It is a great ride, and absolutely bail out at the Brooklyn Bridge. Okay, that's it. We've come to the end of the first Travel Comments podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know your thoughts, comments at travelcommons.com. We'll get feedback to me, and leave whatever you want, words. Send me MP3 files, give me links. I'd appreciate any thoughts, moans, groans, cries of anguish that you might have. But I hope you enjoyed it, and I have no idea how frequently I'm going to be able to do this. Depends on how many hotel bathrooms I can find to broadcast from. But we'll have another one soon. Take care, and talk to you soon. Bye now. I was born